Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today we're going to study John chapter 9, verses 35 to 41. John chapter 9, verses 35 to 41. Now keep in mind as we read this passage the subject, believe on the Son of God. Believe on the Son of God. Let's read. John chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. Great passage of Scripture. All right, let's get into our study. Believe on the Son of God is what we're discussing today from John chapter 9, verses 35 to 41. Now, when Jesus healed the blind man, the Pharisees ended up casting him out of the synagogue because he confessed that Jesus was of God. Up there in verse 33, the blind man said, If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And when he said that, he violated the command of the Pharisees that they had laid down there that was repeated in verse 22. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. One of those threat deals, you know. They had such a weak case, they had to intimidate people there. And to intimidate them with excommunication just because they believed the truth, you see. They wanted them to be bound by the lies of their own doctrine. Now, once this fellow could see, that is, Jesus Christ had given him his sight back, and had been cast out, Jesus found him and asked the all-important question. And, I mean, what good would it have been if Jesus Christ had given this guy eyesight and hadn't given him eternal life? Amen. I mean, God said in another place, he said, if your right eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better for thee to enter into life having one eye than having both eyes and to be cast into hell fire. You know, that's true. So what good would it have done to give this guy sight if he hadn't given him salvation? So, once he saw him, he asked him this question, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? There in verse 35. And when Jesus revealed himself to this fella, this blind man, or had been blind, believed Jesus Christ, and not only that, he worshipped him. Look what happened here. He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and he it is that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. Now Jesus had revealed himself to numerous folks, and some believed and some didn't. I mean, his whole purpose in fulfilling God's will is that those who saw him might believe. Look back there in John chapter 6, verse 40, something that we studied not too long ago. John chapter 6, verse 40. This is the will of him that sent me. Now, he's speaking to the present company. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now that was the will of God. Everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. All right, so there were two conditions then. They had to see him and they had to believe on him. And there were many who did, that actually saw him and believed him. All right, look back there in Matthew chapter 14 at verse 33 and notice the disciples saw him and believed him. Matthew chapter 14, verse 33, albeit he had to do a few miracles for some of these to believe, but he was willing and he did. Matthew 14, 33. Oh, this out here, when Jesus Christ came on board the ship, the wind ceased. And then he says, "Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God." I love it. Don't you? And they knew that because they knew, according to Old Testament scriptures, particularly in the Psalms, that the only person in the universe that could control the wind and the waves and still the seas was God Almighty. And when Jesus Christ did it, they said, "We know of a truth thou art the Son of God," and they worshipped him, and he accepted the worship. Now, an angel wouldn't accept the worship. John tried to worship an angel up there in heaven in Revelation, Book of Revelation, Revelation 19:10, and he said, "Don't worship me." He said, "I am a man," or "I am as thou art." How did he put that thing? Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. "I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said, See thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So they worshipped him because he is God. Look in Matthew chapter 27, verse 54. These are not chronological in the life of Jesus. These are chronological as they appear in the Bible. Matthew chapter 27, verse 54. "Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God." So the centurion believed him, those that were right there and saw all those things. Look in John chapter 1 at verse 49. Here was a guy that believed real easily. John chapter 1 and look at verse 49. "Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." And of course, Jesus Christ did do greater miracles than those. Presumably, that fig tree that Nathanael was under was out of Jesus' sight. I haven't measured it. I think somewhere I heard it was 7 miles away. I don't know if that's so or not. But the truth of the matter is, Nathanael knew it was a miracle because he knew that he was too far away for Jesus to see. And he said, if anybody can see that far, he's got to be the Son of God. He's the King of Israel. And he believed, of course, the testimony that was given about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he said, you're going to see greater things than these. And I mean, raising the dead, that's a big deal. Giving a guy sight who was blind from his birth, that's a big deal. And he did that right in front of these Pharisees and caused lame people and lepers to be healed. And these Pharisees, all they could see was, he did it on the Sabbath. Oh! What, you know, just nerds. He did it on the Sabbath. Well, he's the Lord of the Sabbath. He can do anything he wants to do. There was no Sabbath before God. God's the one that instituted that, and he came here, and Jesus Christ did that, and he reminded those Pharisees, you Sabbath worshipers. He said, no, you know, not as faithful to it as you think you were. And back there in the Old Testament, the Levitical priesthood, they violated the Sabbath in doing those sacrifices. And David, he went over there, and he ate some showbread, and it wasn't lawful for him to do that, but he did it. He's the King of Israel, and the high priest was able to do that, and I'm the priest and the king and the prophet. And if I want to do that, I can do that, and it'll be perfectly legal, and it'll be perfectly right with God. But you're not right with God, and you don't even keep the law. Because I showed myself to you, and you won't believe that I am the Son of God. Oh, religion has a way of poisoning the mind and the heart and blinding the eyes, doesn't it? All right, another one who believed is Martha. Look in John chapter 11, verse 27. You say, preacher, you got a little excited about those Pharisees. You know why? Because we got a lot of Pharisees today. We got a lot of Pharisees today. There are many, many men behind and women behind pulpits all across the United States of America who do not believe that by believing on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you can have everlasting life, although Jesus Christ said plainly in John chapter 6, verse 40, that's the will of God. And they do not believe it. I had the privilege of co-officiating a funeral one day with a woman pastor, no such thing in the Bible. It's a modern anomaly. And one of the people there had visited with her about salvation in Jesus Christ, and she goes, oh, you're of that brand that believes you can simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and accept Him as your Savior to be saved. She said, well, we don't go with that. Well, then you're going to end up in hell, just like these Pharisees. It's a terrible, terrible tragedy, you know, and if you're in one of those churches and you have the benefit of hearing that, you probably don't like what I just said, but I'm telling you the truth from the Word of God. And Paul did tell the Galatians, he said, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I realize I'm rattling your cage a little bit, but there's a reason for it. There's a reason for it, and that is to get you to go to your Bible and pick the thing up and read it and see if what you're hearing is so, and then you'll know it wasn't me, it was the Word of God. And some people, you know, you just gotta bang on the bars a little bit for people to sort of wake up and get mad enough to go do something about it. It's an element of human nature. I mean, you know, we all have it. Sometimes I don't want to go do a chore, you know, and sometimes I get aggravated about it, and all of a sudden I'm working better than I had if I was just trying to be a little lazy. It sort of gets the adrenaline flowing. So I hope your adrenaline's flowing, because if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you don't believe that He's God manifest in the flesh, if you don't believe that you have to believe on Him to have everlasting life and that that's all you need, then you better go search your Scripture, because it may very well be that you are sailing as fast as a meteor straight to the pits of hell. And believe me, I wouldn't have told you what I just told you if I didn't want you to go there. Amen? So there you got it. Now go to the book and check it out and see if what you're hearing is not so. And if it is so, trust Him today. Martha believed Him. In John chapter 11, verse 27, Jesus Christ said to Martha, in verses 25 and 26, He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she saith unto Him, yea, Lord, I believe that Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Now that's, boy, what a confession there. So these people believed, and they saw Him, and they believed, and by believing, God had given them everlasting life. But others saw and didn't believe. And now let's look at some of those guys. Go back to Matthew chapter 4. Now I know that the Bible says the devils believe and that there's one God and tremble. And so not to give you anything that's contradictory, I just want you to see something that the devil did. He threw the big question mark out there, if thou be the Son of God, showing you that he didn't have the simple faith of believing in Jesus Christ that would save a person. Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, when the tempter came to Him, He said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And that's important, because you're going to see somebody else give that confession. He said again in verse 6, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and so forth. If thou be the Son of God. He is the Son of God. Look at the priest. They're just like the devil. You know why? Because they yielded themselves to the work of the devil and chose not to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you'll serve one or the other. If you don't serve God, then you'll serve the devil. Matthew chapter 26, and look at verse 63. But Jesus held His peace, and the high priest answered and said unto Him, I adjure thee by the living God. That's kind of funny, because he was talking to the living God. That thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said. Nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard His blasphemy. It wasn't blasphemy, folks. It was the truth. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is sitting on the right hand of power, and he is coming in the clouds of heaven. The priest was wrong. Now look how they talk just like the devil in Matthew chapter 27, verse 40. They that passed by and reviled him, wagging their heads, that's verse 39, verse 40, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, watch it, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Just talking just like the devil. You know, and that's a true statement that was said. When you open your mouth, one of three things is coming out: the Spirit of God, the devil, or your own flesh. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, He saved others. Himself he cannot save. He did. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. They wouldn't. He trusted in God. He did. Let him deliver him now. He did. If he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Yes, he did say that. We're going to study it here pretty soon. In John chapter 10, verse 36, Jesus was answering. He said, Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, Thou blaspheme him, because I said, I am the Son of God. He raised the question, and then they brought it right back up. Said, Yes, you do blaspheme because you say you're the Son of God. He wasn't blaspheming. He was telling the truth. So when Jesus Christ came, he cut the middle right down there. He just drew a line in the sand. He said, You see me and believe, you got everlasting life. You see me and you don't believe, you're going to die and go to hell in your sins. Just like the devil, just like the chief priest, just like the elders and the scribes. It's terrible. It's a tragedy. Now, today, you and I can't see him. So what does that mean? We can't be saved? No. Doesn't mean that at all. We can't see him except through the Scriptures. Look in John chapter 20 and notice what John said when he wrote this book here. John chapter 20, verse 29. John chapter 20, verse 29. John said this. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So you and I do get everlasting life, though we have not seen him. As long as we take what God wrote in the book and believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Now, there are many people that read this Bible that don't believe that. If you do any amount of talking with people about the Lord Jesus Christ, you know that's so. I've run into bunches of them. Oh, yeah, he's a good man and all that kind of stuff, and I don't believe he's the Son of God. And there are those that say, yeah, I believe he's the Son of God, and he died for our sins and all that kind of stuff. But you know, because of their own pride, their own self-righteousness, their own religion, their own works, they will not believe on him simply like this blind man did and forsake all that junk. And you know what's going to happen to them? They're going to trust their righteousness, they're going to trust their religion, they're going to trust their works, and they're going to find themselves in hell one day. Now, I'll give you a couple of examples of some folks who did not see him, per se, but they believed what he had said. Look in Acts chapter 8, verse 37. Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. This is the Ethiopian eunuch wanting to get baptized. And the Ethiopian eunuch said this, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There you go. Saul met him on the road to Damascus, but straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God, and he revealed that to the people that he preached by the words of God. And he wrote them, and we've got them. So what we've seen so far in this passage that we're studying today is that the will of God was that those who saw him would believe on him and have everlasting life, and several did. Then there were others who saw him and didn't believe. Today we can't see him, but we see him through the revelation of the Scriptures, And we're to believe so that we can have life. Now, in this passage, then, Jesus Christ threw a stinger at them, and we'll raise the question here. In John chapter 9, verse 39, Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." That's a full statement. Now the Pharisees, when they heard this, they asked him, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus said, "If you were blind, you should have no sin, but now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." Okay. So the blind man that Jesus Christ healed was in the category of those, in verse 39, to whom Jesus Christ had come, that did not see, and he came that they which see not might see. Okay, so he healed this guy of his blindness, then he revealed himself to him, and that guy believed. And then he said there's another class of people, that they which see might, that they which see might be made blind. That's the Pharisees. Now watch it. They that see not might see, that was the blind man. They that see might be made blind, that was the Pharisees. And so they ask him, "Are we blind?" Well, if they had been, then he would have allowed them to see. And they, of course, wouldn't have had any sin, because once they believed on Christ, their sins would have been gone or forgiven. But he said, "Now that you say we see, therefore your sin remaineth." Why? Because they're going to be made blind. Now, you ask the question, were they ever made blind? I mean, they said that we see in verse 41, right? Were they ever made blind? Yes, as a matter of fact, they were. Right before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, he addressed these Pharisees. And in Matthew chapter 23, verse 16, this is what he said. This is right before he died. Matthew chapter 23, verse 16, this is what he said. This is within a week of dying. This is what he said. "Woe unto you, ye blind guides." Verse 17. "Ye fools and blind." Verse 19. "Ye fools and blind." Verse 24. "Ye blind guides." Verse 26. "Thou blind Pharisees." They were made blind, all right. You see, it's a very dangerous thing for you to receive the revealed truth of the words of God and then reject them for your self-righteousness, your works, your religion, your Phariseeism, or whatever it is that keeps you from simply trusting Christ, your pride. "We see." Well, then you're going to be made blind. You're better to come to him and say, "Man, I don't see nothing." There's a verse in Psalm 119, verse 18, that is excellent. It's a verse that's worth praying every time that you get ready to read your Bible. The verse says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law." That is, every time you come to this Bible, I don't care how many times you've read it and how long you've been saved, you come as a child, and you come as blind, and then God opens your eyes so that you can see the things that are there. But in your pride, your self-righteousness, your religion, your interpretation, and all those other kind of things, when you come to the Bible and say, "I already know and see these things," then he will not open your eyes and you'll be blind. So I can show a verse of Scripture like 1 John 5:7 or 1 Timothy 3:16 or Luke 2:33 or Acts 8:37 to a fellow who's self-righteous, who's depending upon his religion and his works to get saved. I can show him that verse of Scripture, any of those, and he will not believe what they say. Why? Because he says, "I already see." And the fact of the matter is, he's blind. And I'll tell you, these people looked right at Jesus Christ. These Pharisees, they had seen the greatest miracle they'd ever seen in their lives. A man from his childhood, a man from his birth that was blind, made to see. They heard him reveal himself to them as the Son of God. They saw the other miracles that he did, and the healing of the sick, and the raising of the lepers, and the cleansing of the lepers, and the raising of the dead, and the giving sight to the blind, and all that. They saw all that, and they would not believe. And consequently, they went right down into the devil's court, because he's the one that said, "If thou be the Son of God," and they said the same thing, "If thou be the Son of God." The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, verse 3, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, we've done that right here on this broadcast today. And I want to ask you a question. Where are you in this thing? Oh, you say, oh, I see. But I don't believe like you believe. Then you're blind. You're a blind guide. You've been blinded by the devil. You're blinded to the glorious light of Jesus Christ. And you know what's coming. But if you say, you know, I hadn't seen that until it was revealed to me, either some other time in the past or right now, and I realize my personal need, that I have got to recognize that Jesus Christ, in fact, is the Son of God, and I have got to receive Him as my Savior and forget this religious nonsense that has been keeping me from Christ. I remember leading a young girl to the Lord one time. I mean, she was in her 20s, and after she got saved, she was mad. I said, what are you mad about? I mean, you ought to be excited. She said, I am furiously mad. I said, why? She said, because I've been going to the same church all of my life, and I've heard the priest preach every Sunday all of my life. I've been very faithful to go, and he has never yet to this day shown me what I've just seen out of the Bible. He was blind guide leading the blind. But because she was blind, God opened her eyes to see, and then she believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and she got saved. How about you? Are you going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that you may be saved? If you will, listen, just give us a call. Say, preacher, I need, show me a few other verses. I need to get saved. I'll admit it. I've been religious. I've been proud. I've been all these other things, but I'm blind like those Pharisees, and I've rejected Christ. I need to receive Him now. I said, okay, call me. I'll show you some other scriptures. We'll pray with you, help you to receive Christ as your Savior. You can do it on your own the best way you know how right now, but if you want somebody to help you, call us, 361-241-6100. That's area code 361-241-6100. We'll gladly show you how to receive Christ.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.